Two tall figures emerged from the darkness into the circle of light, and with swift, supple steps gained the campfire before any of the travelers had time to move. They were Indians, and the brandishing of their tomahawks proclaimed that they were hostile. "Ugh!" grunted the taller savage as he looked down upon the defenseless, frightened group. As the menacing figures stood in the glare of the fire, gazing at the party with shifty eyes, they presented a frightful appearance. Fierce lineaments, all the more so because of bars of paint. The hideous shaven heads adorned with tufts of hair holding a single feather. Sinewy, copper-colored limbs suggestive of action and endurance. The general aspect of untamed ferocity appalled the travelers and chilled their blood. Grunts and chuckles manifested the satisfaction with which the Indians fell upon the half-finished supper. They caused it to vanish with astonishing celerity, and resembled wolves rather than human beings in their greediness. Helen looked timidly around as if hoping to see those who would aid, and the savages regarded her with ill humor. A movement on the part of any member of the group caused muscular hands to steal toward the tomahawks. Suddenly, the larger savage clutched his companion's knee, then, lifting his hatchet, shook it with a significant gesture in Shepherd's face, at the same time putting a finger on his lips to enjoin silence. Both Indians became statuesque in their immobility. They crouched in an attitude of listening, with heads bent on one side, nostrils dilated, and mouths open. 1, 2, 3 moments passed. The silence of the forest appeared to be unbroken, but ears as keen as those of a deer had detected some sound. The larger savage dropped noiselessly to the ground, where he lay stretched out with his ear to the ground. The other remained immovable. Only his beady eyes gave signs of life, and these covered every point. Finally, the big savage rose silently, pointed down the dark trail, and strode out of the circle of light. His companion followed close at his heels. The two disappeared in the black shadows like specters, as silently as they had come.
"Well," breathed Helen, "I am immensely relieved," exclaimed Will.
"What do you make of such strange behavior?" Shepherd asked of the teamster. "I expect they got wind of somebody. Most likely that guide and'll be back again. If they ain't, it's because they got switched off by some signs or tokens, skeered perhaps by the scent of the wind."
Hardly had he ceased speaking when again the circle of light was invaded by stalking forms.
"I thought so. Here comes the skulking varmints," whispered the teamster.
But he was wrong. A deep, calm voice spoke the single word, "Friends." Two men in the brown garb of woodsmen approached. One approached the travelers. The other remained in the background, leaning upon a long black rifle. Thus exposed to the glare of the flames, the foremost woodsman presented a singularly picturesque figure. His costume was the fringed buckskins of the border. Fully 6 feet tall, this lithe-limbed young giant had something of the wild, free grace of the Indian in his posture.